You're a Jedi.
Hey, welcome back, Screen Crush. I'm Ryan Airy, and this is all the Easter eggs, references, and little things you might have missed in the big Star Wars announcements at D23 this year. We're going to break down all of the leaked trailers and the Skeleton Crew trailer, and we're going to break down the teaser for The Mandalorian and Grogu. This is a very exciting time to be a Star Wars fan, so let's get started. So first, I want to talk to you guys about the announcements about Andor, and we're going to break down the footage that they showed. Now, I have been very upfront with how much I love this show. In fact, I think it's the best Star Wars they've made since The Empire Strikes Back.
What makes it so darn good?
Well, Andor was a show that I didn't think we actually needed or wanted. When they first announced it, I thought it was a pointless Disney Plus spinoff of a mediocre movie. But then, Tony Gilroy delivered this incredibly nuanced take on the Star Wars galaxy. He made the fight against the Empire a proxy fight against all totalitarian regimes. For the first time, we got to live the lives of the people who were actually building the rebellion. The young dreamers, the jaded cynics.
The axe forgets, but the tree remembers.
And the old man who sacrificed all personal happiness for a pointless cause.
I burned my life to make a sunrise that I know I'll never see.
But we also see how evil is rewarded in systems like this, with characters like Deidre Miro fighting for status and career advancement. And then we have two young men inserted into this, Andor and Cyril. They both become radicalized by this system, Cyril to the Empire and Andor by his time in prison. And I don't think that there are many more inspirational Star Wars moments than this. Plus, it made the politics of Star Wars fascinating, finally showing us Mon Mothma's delicate balancing act between being a statesman and a revolutionary. The show was filmed on tactile sets, not on the volume, and it had a budget of $250 million. Compared to shows like The Book of Boba Fett, Andor is just in a higher class. It was nominated for a Best Drama Emmy, and unfortunately, it's going to end after season one.
Wait, they canceled the show?
No, they always intended to only do two seasons, but it's likely Disney Plus couldn't keep up with their budget because the show was not widely viewed when it was first put on the platform. But we did get some reveals about season two here that are very exciting.
Oh, hey there. I got a sack of batteries for you.
I did not order a sack of dead batteries.
Well, you're one of our subscribers. Actually, you're our only subscriber. We have a picture of you on our wall.
Dude, I did not order a sack of batteries. You know what? Let me just check my Rocket Money. And actually, yes, it turns out that I did order a sack of batteries that I accidentally subscribed to. And I can cancel that subscription right now with Rocket Money.
Oh, geez. Person, what's Rocket Money? Is it for a secret jetpack?
No, Doug, Rocket Money's even better than a secret jetpack. It's a mobile app that lets you save more and spend less. This is a personal finance manager that lets you manage your subscriptions, lower your bills, check your credit score, and plan for your financial future.
Gee whiz, all that's in one app?
Yes, and it is very easy to use. I input my financial details, and then I found out that I was spending $40 a month on subscription services that I totally forgot about. And this used to happen to me all the time. We would cover a show that was on a given streaming service, and I would subscribe, but then I would forget to cancel, or I would subscribe to some app and then forget to cancel. Rocket Money helped me save on all these apps and services that I never even used or that I accidentally subscribed to twice. If you use Rocket Money, you can analyze your spending habits to create a custom budget that works with your lifestyle, and you get notifications when you've exceeded your limits, and you can easily track your credit score. Rocket Money is free to download, but I personally recommend the premium plan, which helps you budget by syncing your account balances, create custom spending categories, unlimited budget, smart savings, premium chat, and many more. People can save up to $740 a year when they use all of Rocket Money's features. So, to save more and spend less, join the over 5 million members using Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/screencrushrewind or click the link in the description to get started for free. This is one of my favorite apps and one of the all-time best sponsors we talk about on this channel. Go to rocketmoney.com/screencrushrewind to get started today. Now back to Andor. First of all, we found out that the second season is going to take place over a period of 4 years. The first season took place in 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. Now, if you're a fan of Star Wars Rebels, that means that this...
You get them moving and you keep them moving until we put this place behind us.
Took place at the same time as this. The timelines of season one took place over a few months, and it was essentially a prequel story for Cassian Andor. When we first met him in the movie Rogue One, he is already a hardened Rebel operative. So this season is going to cover the 4 years between Andor joining the Rebellion and the beginning of Rogue One. Now, a little background on that. Gareth Edwards directed the movie Rogue One, but the film also had to undergo extensive reshoots that drastically changed the structure of the ending. Now, there are rumors that Tony Gilroy, the creator of the show Andor, mostly took over directing, but was uncredited due to DGA Guild rules. Regardless of how much he was involved in the final cut of the movie, he takes a lot of ownership over the character of Cassian Andor. So you can almost look at Andor season 1 and 2 in Rogue One as a kind of narrative trilogy that tells this man's complete story. Season 1 was told in 4 distinct arcs. Cassian runs from the law, then the heist, then the prison break, and the final funeral and the riot. Similarly, this season will probably be broken up into arcs that set up elements of Rogue One. So the first arc might be 4BBY, second arc is 3BBY, and so on. And maybe that final episode ends with Cassian beginning the mission that we see him finishing in Rogue One. Several Rogue One characters are confirmed to be in this season. We see Forrest Whitaker's Saw Gerrera after he gave another banger of a speech in Season 1.
They're lost! All of them! Lost! Lost!
Saw Gerrera is one of the strongest and most underused characters in Star Wars. In the Clone Wars and the Bad Batch, we saw the events that radicalized him against authoritarian rule. And in Rebels and Rogue One, we see glimpses of his cruelty. But I'm hoping that in Season 2, we see just how much of a brutal badass he is. If any character in Star Wars deserves an R rating, it's Saw Gerrera. But there's another new addition that I think is interesting. Ben Mendelsohn returns as Orson Krennic. So Rogue One introduced him as the true mastermind behind the Death Star. And then, throughout the Bad Batch, Rebels, and Thrawn novels, we get glimpses of the sheer amount of resources he has to gather to himself to build the Death Star. In fact, Andor's post-credit scene reveals that the prisoners with jobs were building the tiniest elements of this superweapon. So I think that Season 2 of Andor is going to double down on this. With Cassian coming closer and closer to discovering the existence of the Death Star, why Deidre Miro is going to be working alongside Cyril and Krennic to keep it a secret. We may even see the Geonosians in this season. After all, they were the primary early builders of the Death Star before the Empire slaughtered them to keep them secret. And by the way, everyone, we have lots of great Star Wars parody merch for sale at our merch store, such as Good Soldiers Follow Order, Somehow Palpatine Returned, Original Trilogy, The Original Trilogy Release Date, The Ability to Speak Doesn't Make You Intelligent, and many more. The links are below. So the trailer shown at D23 is really more of a sizzle reel, showing the behind-the-scenes filming and intercutting cast interviews with dialogue from the season. We see characters like Luthen, Mon Mothma, Deidre, and of course, Andor. We also see the huge scale of these sets, including a lot of action taking place on Coruscant. Now, Tony Gilroy has always been interested in connecting the struggle against space fascism with our modern life, and we see that reflected in the trailer. These demonstrations break out into riots against the Empire, similar to the climactic funeral procession last season. Then we see stormtroopers being attacked in bombing raids, maybe coordinated by Saw Gerrera, who has always oscillated between being a freedom fighter and a terrorist. In an interview, Tony Gilroy teases that in this season, the rebellion grows big, and this is what we also got to see play out the show Rebels. In Rebels, we follow one specific Rebel cell as they slowly join the other cells to form the Rebel Alliance that we saw in A New Hope. In the first season of Andor, we learned about all the groups at play here. It's the reason this group was called an alliance.
A separatist. My base, a neo-republican. The Gorman Front. The Partisan Alliance. Sectorist. Human cultist.
Basically, there are so many disparate factions that it takes time to unite all of them under a common banner. We also see Cyril in a suit, meaning he probably got that post in ISB alongside Deidre.
But what was in his special box?
Oh, that's revealed in the trailer too. The special box contained your mom. And the biggest reveal of the trailer for me was that Alan Tudyk is back as K2.
Did you know that wasn't me?
K2 is a reprogrammed Imperial droid who died an incredibly heroic death in Rogue One, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and Andor play off each other in this show. Now, we also got a teaser for The Mandalorian and Grogu, but before we get into that, I want to break down the Skeleton Crew trailer. So Skeleton Crew was co-created by John Watts, director of the Spider-Man Home trilogy. He was originally going to direct the Fantastic Four reboot for the MCU, but he did this show instead. The show is set in the New Republic era after Return of the Jedi, and probably after Mandalorian seasons 1-3. Now, we know that Dave Filoni is creating a culmination movie that is going to tie all of these different shows together, and Skeleton Crew is probably going to be part of those Star Wars Avengers too. In fact, one of the villains of this series, the Dread Pirate Stain, was a villain in The Mandalorian Season 3. Alright, so let's break down this trailer. We open with Wim looking up at a mobile on his ceiling, with this ship actually looking a lot like Anakin's speeder from Attack of the Clones. So Wim appears to be living a very safe, very boring suburban space life. So this shot of him lying awake and dreaming about the future is the equivalent of Luke watching the binary sunset in A New Hope. Then we see him on the school bus and these manicured lawns. Now remember, the New Republic era is a time of galactic peace, but also a time of galactic boredom. In the classroom, his teacher is wearing a cloak, not unlike the sort of cloak we see Mon Mothma wear in the show Andor, maybe showing how New Republic fashion is following the leadership of its chancellor. And the droid working with her is very similar to L337 from Solo or a tactical droid from the Clone Wars, basically a smart droid. The teacher tells the class,
"Tomorrow's test will set the course of your entire future."
And for a kid like Wim, this is like a death sentence. The last thing he wants is to have his entire life planned out for him by the time he turns 10. His classmate here is Fern, and here she is with KB on a speeder and sidecar. Rounding out the child cast is Neil, who is an Ortolan, the same species as Max Rebo. Now out on the street, we also see this Ithorian walking his dog. But see, Wim does not want this life. He watches a hollow of a Jedi Knight fighting a monster, which could be a dramatization of Luke fighting the Sarlacc. Remember, for kids in this era, the Jedi had not existed for 30 years. So to them, they really would feel like myths. Basically, for three of his lifetimes, the Jedi have been extinct. Like, think about the decade before you were born. I bet it seems like a really long time ago, right? But then think about like 10 years ago, and it doesn't seem like a long time ago. So we saw this same attitude reflected by Rey in The Force Awakens.
Luke Skywalker, I thought he was a myth.
So when the kids go into the woods, this immediately felt like an 80s kids movie. In The Goonies, kids go in the woods to find pirate treasure. In Stand By Me, they look for a dead body. In The Explorers, they go to space. These are all extensions of stories like Hansel and Gretel, where children have to wander away from home into the wilderness and then face the perils of nature and, you know, stranger danger. Except in this show, those perils are in outer space. Now, first, they think the ship is...
It's a lost Jedi temple.
Remember, at one point, the Jedi did have temples all across the galaxy. And in the show Rebels, Kanan and Ezra discovered an abandoned one on the planet Lothal. So it makes sense that kids would dream of finding one of these temples, the way kids in the real world might dream of finding buried pirate treasure. They find a human skeleton, get it? Skeleton crew, it's a double meaning.
Oh, that's why they call it that.
And the ship's automated systems take over. So this is also similar to another 80s movie, Space Camp, where a well-meaning robot sends Joaquin Phoenix and several teenagers into outer space. Ghost ships like this are actually a recurring plot device in Star Wars, going all the way back to the Timothy Zahn novel, Dark Force Rising. So the droid on the ship is SM-33, voiced by Nick Frost, whose frequent collaborator Simon Pegg also appeared in Star Wars as Ungar Plot and The Force Awakens. Then we get several shots showcasing visuals from the show, with Jawas, as well as a new species, and this weird little owl puppet. Now, this werewolf is called a Shistavanan, and this is a werewolf that was originally in the 1977 version of the cantina scene in Star Wars. But George Lucas later replaced this wolfman mask in the 1997 special edition. The trailer ends with Jude Law's character, Jadnana Wood, using the Force. The kids say,
"You're a Jedi."
Which I don't think is technically true. Technically, Jude Law is old enough to have been a Padawan or even a full Jedi Knight during the Clone Wars, but I'm kind of a stickler for this one rule, guys. Yoda said that Luke was the last Jedi, so damn it, he should be the last Jedi. But Jod could be another kind of Force user. As we saw in The Acolyte and in the expanded lore of the Star Wars books and comics, there are many other Force religions in the galaxy. The Emperor did his best to wipe out them all so nobody could ever challenge his rule, but apparently, he missed this one. And that brings us to the teaser trailer for The Mandalorian and Grogu. The image on the stage was of the Blue Squadron headquarters that we saw in The Mandalorian Season 3, complete with the Y-Wing parked out front. And then the trailer runs through some footage from the past 5 years, the two of them meeting, and then it gives you the feeling that this is going to be a culmination of all their experiences together. The armorer narrates, reminding us that they are a clan of two, and that Din is essentially Grogu's father. And then we see footage of them eating together, and then Din tucking him in. And by the way, since Pedro Pascal is currently off filming The Fantastic Four, it's likely that he will only be the voice of the character in the movie, and the actual body on screen will be played by Lateef Crowder. Din says that he is a bounty hunter, but now that Grogu is with him, he's going to have to be more selective in his assignments. And this was hinted at in The Mandalorian Season 3. Din said he was essentially going to start contracting jobs from Carson Teva in Blue Squadron, doing good when red tape ties the New Republic's hands. Remember, this is why he stepped in to fight the Dread Pirate Stain on Navarro in Season 3. So on a mission, he blasts these guards around this rich guy, and look, that is the return of the Razor Crest.
Jeez, I guess the New Republic pays real good.
Yeah, right? And then we see Zeb, voiced by the great Steve Blum. So Zeb was a member of Phoenix Squadron on the show Rebels. And with most of the Rebels cast appearing in live action in the show Ahsoka, I definitely think that we're going to get a live action reunion in the culmination movie. And then there are shots of these snowtroopers. Now, these are Imperial stormtroopers who are outfitted with cold weather gear that we saw in the Battle of Hoth. In fact, this planet is definitely reminiscent of Hoth. Now, at this point in time, the Empire is essentially like the Rebellion, living in the shadows, hiding out in small bases. So it would actually be appropriate if the Empire was forced to hide out in the old Rebel base from The Empire Strikes Back. And I love this shot of Grogu pulling a Die Hard, and then we see a mouse droid rolling through this cold weather base. But notice how the lights on the droid are blue. So maybe it's actually been hacked to make it good. Remember, like we saw in the show Obi-Wan, red droid light means a bad evil hack, but a blue light means it's a good person hack. We see some awesome droid POV shots before this thing detonates, so it's definitely a hack droid. And then we see Din and Grogu on a mini AT-R AR-T chicken walker like we saw during the Clone Wars, standing up against these huge AT-AT walkers. Again, giving me major Hoth vibes. Afterwards, we get the new logo where Grogu gets top billing with his dad, and then we get this amazing teaser image. This is Grogu with the Enzelans, the same species as Babu Frick. Now look, I don't like The Rise of Skywalker, but I can never fully hate any movie that gave us Babu Frick. Well, guys, are you excited? Do you think Star Wars is back? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below or at me on Twitter. And if it's your first time here, welcome to the channel. Please subscribe and smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy.